Foster and Friends is a show where I have peer-to-peer conversations with my friends, from entrepreneurs and creators to corporate soldiers and humble leaders. I believe there is a lot to learn and laugh about when listening to stories of others. Please join me in honoring their lives, sharing their stories, and gaining a new perspective. All information discussed during this episode is for educational and informational purposes only, and should not be viewed as investment advice or as a solicitation or offer to buy or sell any securities. Foster & Friends is not a registered investment advisor and is separate from Brent Foster services offered under Northbound Wealth Management, LLC. This is Foster & Friends with your host, Brent Foster. And I am here with a very special guest, and that is my lovely, beautiful wife, Nora Foster, who is the founder and executive director of Northbound Health Incorporated, based out of Indianapolis, Indiana. And I am really stoked to have her here on the show. And we're just going to talk to her about what's happening in the world that she's living in and what she got started here. In the recent history. So Northbound Health, it was created about 3 or 4 months ago. They've made significant progress in their efforts to help fill a gap in the healthcare system. Can you tell us the story behind creating Northbound Health?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me, by the way.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I would love to share the story of Northbound Health. Actually, this goes back before just recent time frame too of why this was created. I have linked up with a couple colleagues, Megan Deering, she's a physical therapist, and Julie Griffith, who is a speech therapist. And our history goes back in a sense of we've had 10 plus years of experience in, I would say, the whole continuum of the healthcare. So when you talk about somebody that might initially just get hurt and they're in the hospital setting, and then maybe they move on to like an inpatient rehab setting, and then the next step might be a skilled nursing facility or going home, which then if they go home, they could have home health services or outpatient services. So that's kind of what the continuum of care means in the healthcare system. Mm-hmm. And we've played a role in every single part of that. So Julie, Megan, and I, and we just noticed that there was a lot of barriers for people. And you hear about it in research as, you know, in some other nonprofits as health disparities, but mm-hmm. There's some things out there that make it really hard for some people to have access to healthcare. Yeah. It makes it, there's barriers. Transportation can play a role. Caregiver burden. There can be just so many social dynamics that play a role in success when mm-hmm. you have to go through this.
Yeah.
And we just had a conversation about what we could do to try to be part of the solution for even just a small gap that's in the healthcare system, because there's a lot of places out there that provide services. And I would say we're trying to perform therapy services.
Yeah.
But it's much bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope to, you know, the name comes from Northbound Health, right?
Mm-hmm.
And which is funny, we can share the story about us real quick too. Brent shared Northbound stories with me when he was creating kids' books, children's
right.
books.
Yeah.
He's released Baby Owl. He's released the newest one, The Poopy Wanted,
Wanted
Out, which
and then
is just awesome.
Maximus is going to be out soon. So
yes.
I'm pretty stoked about that, which is a sequel to Baby Owl. Anyway, there's my plug.
This is about Northbound Health.
Yeah, I know. My bad.
You.
Yeah, I know.
So anyways, you created Northbound Stories, and then you were creating your financial firm.
Which yes.
I'll give another plug for you, but Northbound
yeah.
Wealth.
Right.
And it was all because you were thinking of the name for that. And I just thought that fits you, right? Let's keep using it. That's who you are. You're from the Northwest. You're from Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Like your sweatshirt says. Hi to our family in Oregon.
Yes.
Right?
What's up, guys?
We missed you guys.
Uh-huh.
But there, I was thinking of a name for this, and it made sense.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of... There's a lot behind the name, right? Like Northbound
right.
can mean a lot for so many people. And we even had discussions where ask someone what they think when they think of Northbound.
Right.
And a lot of it was like positive direction, success, looking the way up, the North Star.
Mm-hmm.
anything that was more of a guide, some kind of directional, you know, compass.
Right.
So all that stuff makes sense for wealth management, but it makes sense for healthcare.
Right.
And so it really pulled at my heart when I'm looking at a name and trying to figure out where this should go.
Mm-hmm.
And the health component was just huge, right? Like, this is more than just my background of physical therapy, but I think for us to fill this gap, we need to look at the whole person. So
totally.
The dimensions of health came into play when we're creating our logo and the name. And the logo is just, I feel like, an awesome addition. You can
see. Yeah, you got the logo right there on your shirt.
But we thought of, you know, beautiful our daughter logo. Loves rainbows.
She does.
If you listen to the podcast and see the YouTube video earlier, but she said her favorite color is black.
Black,
but which, yeah. That's not true. Yeah. Like, she's a rainbow girl.
Right. But she did say later that rainbow's not a color, Dad. So that touche. Good wrong. Job.
Yeah. So the rainbow made sense as far as there's a storm that happens in someone's life.
That's right.
Right. Yeah. And the rainbow is that next stage. You and I dealt mm-hmm. with our own storms in life, and
that's right.
The rainbow is what comes after it. And there's this hope and encouragement with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that we can share that with other people and share where our hope and encouragement comes from.
Absolutely.
And even when there's some terrible things that happen in life. And Megan and Julie share that same idea. They share the same heart. They have compassion and empathy for doing this. Mm-hmm. And the experience, all of it pulled together to make this come true. So, you know, I'll lead into you maybe asking the next question, but our mission is providing transformative services to those impacted by life-altering medical conditions and injuries.
Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit more about what you mean by life-altering medical conditions and injuries?
Yeah. Isn't that fun to say?
It is.
You've got to write it down so succinctly sometimes, but mm-hmm. I would say that's a very broad category.
Yeah.
And it comes down to, at this point, if Meg and Julie and I are going to be the ones seeing patients, it's going to be under our specialties more or less. So mm-hmm. we typically work with adult population, but I think there are some pediatric cases that we can help
mm-hmm.
if this is the right delivery for them. For example, we are currently seeing a 7-month-old, and her parents came to us to see if we could provide services. And one of the things that is different about our model, which I can share more of that later, since you're asking about life-altering conditions and injuries.
Would love to hear.
But we're seeing her at her daycare to be able to provide that kind of middle ground service where her family is doing it in the morning at night, but at the daycare, they need assistance. They need to learn how to feed her correctly and hold her and have her work on a certain, you know, developmental skills.
Yeah.
And then the next part is we can see adolescents and teens, depending on what their need is. And if we can provide it from our experience, then we would love to. But I also think, you know, we are okay if we're not the place.
Right.
And that's not normally said in healthcare.
Right.
A lot of people want to keep patients within their system, and you understand why that's needed financially for a system.
Totally.
If they don't have patients, then they aren't going to be around.
Right.
But I think, you know, with this broad category, it leaves it open for us to maybe hire people that are specialists in certain areas of maybe where we see a need in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Other patient population that we might be able to see are geriatrics older folks that might have had a stroke, maybe you can even think about dementia or Parkinson's disease, mm-hmm. some of the other conditions that I'm just going to say we see just because of experience, but spinal cord injury, mm-hmm. brain injury. These are all significant things that have happened to somebody that's changed their life.
Totally.
And happened in a matter
of moments, just like that snap of a finger. So, one of the things is it could happen to anybody, right?
Yeah.
Like, and it happens so fast. So, you know, that's the one thing that I think hearing all the stories over the years, being married to you and you kind of sharing some of that stuff with me, it's like, man, never going to get up on a ladder to clean a gutter, never going to cut trees down again. Probably not going to jump on a motorcycle and maybe you know, jump on a bull in a rodeo or something like I did back in college. That's just nuts, you know, because
or you just won't tell me.
Or
it.
Maybe it's as simple as, you know, stepping off the sidewalk and not landing right. I mean, there are just so many tragic stories that I've been just accustomed to hearing that it makes me wonder about, like, everything really. It's like, God, you're just like one moment away from an injury. And unfortunately, everything is great in somebody's life until it isn't.
Yeah.
And it happens, and it impacts not only you, but it also impacts the family and husband and wife. You know, when you got to care for somebody full time, it's a dynamic that not everyone is prepared for.
No.
Mentally, physically, relationally. I mean, all the aspects of life have changed, and especially financially. That's one of the things too that doesn't get discussed a whole lot is the financial impact of somebody if they don't have proper insurances in place that to take up disability, to help with disabilities and things like that. It's a significant burden. Mm-hmm. So what you're doing and what you're focused on is wonderful and excellent, and I'm really excited about what you're doing. Yeah. So
I would like to kind of talk through, you know, you said it can happen to anyone and it can happen in an instant. And I think it seems rare to some, to us, it seems different because that's my life. And that's where I've been engaged in the medical community for, you know, 10 plus years. But the statistics are also there in the state of Indiana. There are a lot of people that have suffered some major events and or medical, you know, things that come up all of a sudden. And I think what I've seen recently in 2021, it's probably close to like 14 or 15% of our population in Indiana has a disability, whether that be a mobility where they can't walk, or it's maybe a speech or a cognitive disability. It could be an intellectual disability. And 15% is a pretty big number.
Well,
it's
that,
over a million.
That's like a lot more than I thought.
Hoosiers that have a disability. And then you think through the numbers there. And to me, I'm wondering about, you know, when you think of starting a business, are you going to have the clients? Are you going to have the patients?
Right.
And this is the thing that I hate to say, but yes, right? Like there are a lot of people that need help and are looking for help and looking for services. So why not add another one that could just complement what's already going on?
Yeah. And I thought that number would be a single digit number, not a double digit, like 15 or something. And that's just the state of it.
COVID's made it worse.
Yeah.
Right. Like think about that. Like I think I was looking at statistics from just a couple of years ago too, and it's gone up by a few percent. And that's huge. And what goes along with all that too, the COVID-19 pandemic, you have mental health issues that are
big time
being brought to light, but the mental health issues have always been with this population that have been disabled. Right.
Oh, totally.
But I don't think that's ever been brought to like this prime awareness. Like when you think of mental health, I don't think people immediately think of physical disability, but that's one of the risk factors for this.
Exactly.
Right.
Right.
So yeah. Can you imagine? That's what, you know, we talk about, but people always say, I can't imagine this. I couldn't imagine being in that position. Well, you can't. And that's why it's hard for people to put themselves in the shoes of these people that we're trying to help, because they can't imagine where one side of their body doesn't work anymore.
Exactly.
They can't imagine where they're paralyzed from the waist down. They can't imagine maybe where they're paralyzed from the neck down. Right. And that is a huge thing that affects all of your life.
Right.
And then on top of that, and sorry, I get very passionate about this, but think of all the medical complications that become because of that. You're not moving around. So then you just sit there because you don't have the energy or you don't have the capability to even get up and stand.
Right.
And then that leads to
a lot of other issues,
things that you don't want to see and don't want to mention. But when you talk about pressure ulcers, or you talk about diabetes happening because of lack of, you know, activity. There are so many things that just keep piling up for these people if they don't move, if they're not active.
Right.
And physical activity is great for mental health.
Yeah.
So there's solutions to some of these problems by getting therapy. So that's the other thing that I'm trying to bring to light. I know that it seems like it's just therapy, it's just PT, it's just OT, it's just speech, but there's a way bigger thing to think about than just like, it's just therapy, where everybody just immediately goes to this idea that, you know, I tore my ACL, which is why I started in therapy.
Right.
And went down that road. I tore my ACL, went through PT and thought, this could be fun. It seems like it's a laid back environment. Mm-hmm. I get to work out. I get to have people work out.
Exactly.
Why not get involved in that?
Yeah. So, yeah, even being healthy and not having an injury, you and I going through COVID and the pandemic, I mean, yeah, we certainly drank a little bit more. We dealt with our stuff a little bit more. And it's, I mean, it's just being honest and transparent about it. And there's when you have a national shutdown and you're spending 6 weeks at home and kids at home and everything else, I mean, I can't imagine that population having to go through a lot of that as well.
Yeah.
And then not necessarily, you know, how important it is to work out. It contributes to how we feel, and then mental and physical health is hugely important, and then nutrition from there. So, for the population that's in a situation like that, like that, what you're trying to address, it's imperative that they get moving, that they stay up and positive and around other people that are going to offer support. And, you know, and it's not just a whole rah-rah thing, but just a support to be like, hey, how you doing? Mm-hmm. Let's go. Let's do this. You can do one more. Hey, how about, you know, just that type of thing, and seeing other people that actually care about their situation and will do it for the long run from what it sounds
so
like.
So what about those people that can't get to those group situations or be involved, right? So again, part of our mission right now is we're going to be going to the patient. And that's really rare, other than you have the home health.
Right. That's the only thing I know about.
You have home health that goes into the home, mm-hmm. and they have a goal of just trying to get them better for that next step. But the resources aren't always there because it is so difficult to put this all together for a patient
mm-hmm.
and to then bring, you know, transportation, for instance. You might be able to give them a number to call to set up a ride, but then they don't like that therapist has no idea how to then help them in the future when they actually take that ride, because they're not working with them anymore.
Right.
And that person takes that ride to an outpatient therapy and they wait there for 8 hours, right?
This is what's true happening. Stories. Yeah.
Eight hours. Can you imagine sitting in your wheelchair for 8 hours in a clinic where you really don't have caregivers?
I can't imagine.
Right?
That's what everyone says. I can't imagine.
And it happens all the time, these kind of things.
Yeah. And it's sad. So,
it is.
Yeah.
So why not be part of the solution is my thought. You know, this is...
Yeah.
This can be an undertaking, but I want to help people.
Well, I think you're going down the right path and being part of the solution and a long-term one too. So I'm really excited about that and what you're doing. It's awesome. Now I'm going to kind of shift gears here to something like you're talking about going into people's homes, visiting them. And I had the privilege of hooking myself. Well, not myself. You did it. You hooked me up on a VR system. And I was fascinated by it. I was like, hopefully not knocking anyone over or punching something that I shouldn't have been punching, but yeah, I had a lot of fun. It was neat trying to like catch something, some log being thrown at me or something. Can you share with people like some of the types of unique therapies that you're using, like a VR system and, mm-hmm. and that type of thing?
Yeah. So the services that we're going to offer right now at the start is physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy.
Got it.
PT is going to focus on mobility, function, you know, think about just those typical strength, range of motion. But then we thought, okay, if we're going into someone's house and they're stuck there, one, it's convenient for them. So if you end up checking out our website, you're going to see some of these things of why we're doing what we're doing. It's mm-hmm. convenient for this patient to have us come to their home. But then the unique approach is, one, we can work with them in the home to get them out of the home.
Okay.
So maybe they have something really fun that they like to do outside of the home that they would love to try again, but maybe too scared to do. There was a example recently where somebody has a Peloton bike. And they had a brain surgery that left them where they didn't have balance. They didn't have strength, but they got home. And Megan, our therapist, went over to her house and said, why don't you jump on the bike? And she had no idea that she could jump on the bike because nobody talked her through that because nobody really knew her environment because she didn't know what to share with the therapist she was seeing an outpatient.
No kidding.
And Megan was just doing this as a pro bono service, like just to go help her friend out, you know,
right.
was able to give her this kind of step towards her old self, right? Like to jump on a Peloton bike again, made her feel normal versus going to a therapy clinic and jumping on a bike.
Totally.
Right. And then,
and she had it right there in her house.
Yeah. So we've got the convenience. We've got this unique approach where we can end up going from, you know, maybe a workplace situation too, where somebody needs to learn how to do this again. Or I have given examples before, but with Julie, she wants to do a lot of group therapy. That's not reimbursed by insurance, but she can end up getting, it's reimbursed by insurance. Sorry. There's it's a big complicated situation, but she wants to be able to provide this maybe group setting to where people that have had issues with talking and communication because of a stroke or some other diagnosis, where you get them together and you get them to work together and learn together and maybe find different ways to figure it out and communicate. And you could go to a coffee shop and do therapy with somebody. Like, that's a really cool idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a great few of these kind of therapies around.
Right.
And so I can digress all the time.
No.
I'm sorry.
Other services.
So the equipment that we're using in physical therapy is virtual reality.
Mm-hmm.
So we're bringing it to somebody's home. Maybe they don't want to be at home, and they would love to get out. Well, let's throw them in this immersive system.
Yes.
The one we're using is by Real Systems, and they've been an awesome just partner for us since we've gotten started, and have given us a lot of support as we've gotten going. We've been able to. But they've been able to go with us to the clinic and demo it and go to patients' homes and demo it with them. Mm-hmm. And we've learned how we can incorporate it into this. We have electrical stimulation, and that's something unique to many outpatient therapy, like therapy clinics.
So eSTEM.
It's not something that can be easily traveled with, but thankfully Restorative Therapies has worked with us to make this possible, which is really cool.
Is really cool. That's a great partner.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
And then occupational therapy we're going to have in January. And that is going to really be a nice, I think, next step for us, because we've been doing PT, we've been doing speech since September.
Mm-hmm.
But having the specialist on board that does complex rehab technology, which is a wordy phrase.
No jargon, go with
right. I know. So CRT.
Yeah.
And hopefully she won't mind me calling her out, but Alyssa Mehta is the OT that's been around in the hospital systems that, you know, she's seen it all too. Spinal cord injury is her expertise, but she's been able to understand wheelchair seating and positioning.
Excellent.
And that is a common term in therapy, but think about that for just one moment, where somebody is trying to become independent, but they may not have function in their legs, may not have function in their arms.
Yeah.
How are you going to get somebody to move from one place to the other? It could be their caregiver, but that's not, doesn't have to be an option anymore. Right. But you've got to know your stuff. You've got to know the equipment out there. There's thousands of options, right? Like you go to a store for clothes and there's just tons of options. Well, you go and look for a wheelchair and there's tons of options. So you want to have somebody that's an expert in this area so that you can be set up for success. And I'm really excited to have her on board. Look at my posture now if you end up watching the YouTube video.
Leaning.
I've got a little bit of a scoliosis. That's what happens when you don't have support, right? And that's not my case, but if you don't have support from your abdominals, you end up having to correct your balance to try to work with that, but it ends up creating problems for you down the road. Mm-hmm. If I'm always leaning this way, then I'm going to have a lot of pressure on my elbow, and I'm always good at going down the rabbit hole with this stuff. But if I have pressure on my elbow for too long, then I start to have a wound and a sore. But if I can't get myself over here by my own control,
right,
I need my wheelchair set up to keep me there.
I see.
And, you know, so posture is huge with that, and it can help with preventing wounds. It can help with all these big complications that happen.
Exactly.
If you get in the right equipment. So really, this is just awesome to have somebody that's an expert in this area on our team. And then Julie with speech therapy, same thing, language, voice, communication, swallowing and, you know, even cognitive type of work that she's doing. And she's got a great background. She's a PhD, taught at Ball State for speech therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll give a shout out to Megan then too. Megan has a lot of experience with pediatrics and adults. The neuro population is what you would say, but all of us have this caring, compassionate heart, and everyone is giving their all in this to make this happen, right? Like we know what it takes. I think everybody's just excited to do therapy the way we always wanted to do therapy. And it's to no fault of these hospital systems either. I have to tell you that after understanding right. billing and reimbursement, you see why this happens.
Exactly.
So I'm excited to offer the PTOT speech services. We could go on and on about our vision, but the vision is much bigger than therapy. And I hope, again, we can be able to show that on our website and talk through that, but offering additional things that are going to make this person.
So what is your website?
www.northboundhealth.org.
www.northboundhealth.org. So everybody out there that's listening to this podcast or ever sees it, go there, check it out, learn more about it. But you were mentioning about your team, mm-hmm. and who else is kind of on the team who's passionate and who's going after this, just like gangbusters, just like you are, and having seeing the vision, seeing the mission. Who else is on the team? And I'm referencing more like the board of directors.
Yeah, so we're a nonprofit. We're a 501c3.
Sweet. So year-end donations. Giving Tuesday is coming up. So those of you out there who are looking at making charitable donations, Northbound Health can accept charitable donations, and those are tax deductible. Yeah. So I'm really stoked about that, because there's a lot of different ways to give. And what
share.
Oh, well. and I believe you can go to their website, right? You can go to www.northboundhealth.org to give and donate. But there's ways that you can do that. There's charitable advised funds that if you do have one of those, you can certainly make a donation via in-kind transfer, stock transfer, or make a donation via cash. An interesting fact is that a lot of people, like 30% more, tend to give in the last like month and a half of the year. Everybody's looking at the holiday season as a giving season. And so it's exciting to be able to, you know, see that happen. Mm-hmm. Okay. It helps nonprofits get off the ground, helps them be sustainable.
Which I think one thing that I would just love to shout out to, I know that it's going to sound like we're always begging, but there's a real reason why we're begging. We're trying to cover the cost of what this really looks like, but you can always be a recurring giver. So think about how much you spend on a bill per month for your phone, right?
Yeah.
Or something else. I mean, we just,
Netflix.
We had SiriusXM or whatever.
And Sirius.
It's like you're spending $25 on that just to have a couple extra channels. Or, I mean, we're mainly using Apple Music, which is another monthly fee, right?
Exactly. So it adds up.
Why not?
And they all add up.
Take this little bit of, you know, $25 a month.
Yeah.
Give it to a charity. And
exactly.
if it's not ours that you associate with, these other charities would be thankful to have
absolutely.
The funds to absolutely. Be able to try to keep furthering on their mission, because
right.
being a nonprofit just means that, hey, we're trying to do good for the public. We're trying to do good for the community. So this brings me to my other point of this is more than me being what is the so-called executive director right now. This is more than Julie and Megan teaming up and helping mm-hmm. me create this. This is for the charity or for the community. So the community owns this, right?
Right.
So you have to have a board of directors. And I don't think a lot of people understand that.
Yeah.
And that is huge to have the right people on your team that care
mm-hmm.
and then also have experience in other areas to help further this along. So I'm really thankful for the board that we've started out with. I've got Jim Hines on there, and he knows way too well what this means. He's a caregiver for his wife.
Yes.
She had a few things happen in her life that have made mobility really hard for her. Not that she can't walk completely, but it's difficult. It's hard. Mm-hmm. And it leads to a slew of other, you know, issues. And he's seen it, and he sees what that does. And he also has just a really great background to help us.
Mm-hmm.
He's president of Epic Insurance Midwest.
Yeah.
You know, he's been able to lead a team, and I think he's really working together with me. He's our board chair right now, and he's able to give me some guidance too on how this works, because I'm going to need it being a physical therapist. I've learned a lot, but obviously I've got some limitations myself and just learning along the way.
Sure.
But the team, right? The team is who's supposed to help. So then the other teammate that I have is Ariel Jefferson.
Yeah.
She does compliance. Yeah. She's a friend of ours and she does compliance. And she will help us hopefully lower risk and liability doing this because healthcare isn't easy, right?
Right.
And you've got to follow rules and
HIPAA
you've got to
all that.
Know that you are foundationally set to make this work well and to do it safely. And so helping with policy and procedures, all that fun stuff that's very, very necessary. And the other teammate we have is our neighbor, Tony.
Yeah.
Tony Avellana. Avellana. I don't. No,
he's a good dude.
His last name, but he's awesome. We get to have, a couple drinks with him and his wife.
We do, yeah.
Occasionally on the weekends when we can get away. We've got a 2- and 5-year-old.
So you mean, and their kids, because they've got a bunch of kids and then the dogs.
Yes.
So the dogs are great.
So, yeah, he heard about what we're doing and he just was so excited. And he's... has the best heart. Julie, his wife, has the best heart. And
northbound
they
mindsets.
To,
northbound mindsets, right? Yeah.
So they wanted to partner with us and make this happen. And he's got a web design company. So that's awesome, right? Another teammate that's going to be able to help in this mission and push this out. So we'll give credit to him when everybody checks out our website.
Right.
And the next person would be Audie Kemp. I've worked with him for years and years.
Yep.
He is a wheelchair rep, you would probably call it, right? Sells wheelchairs or helps with modifications, wealth of knowledge. He's an assistive technology professional. So an ATP, which goes
ATP.
Along with the CRT, the complex rehab technology. Huh. But he is an expert and a specialist. So he knows that world so well too, to be able to give input. And he's got a lot of experience doing even just like adaptive sports. And I think he'll really kind of help with that area of progression for us. And the last person who also is very knowledgeable, and I'm just so excited to have her, but she has helped with the IUPUI's adaptive fitness programming. And her goal and mission in life is to help with disability inclusion, really. Like, people deserve to be able to have access to fitness.
For sure.
And you can't always just go to an LA Fitness. And I don't know if a lot of people understand that, but it's pretty rare seeing somebody in a wheelchair go to an LA Fitness or a Planet Fitness. I know Planet Fitness is really kind of changing their tone and trying to help with some
inclusion.
Of the disability inclusion. Yeah. But I think, partnering with her in this area is just really a really nice way to hopefully help with the vision planning and the strategic planning too. So I've got a great team. We will always be looking for board members. So if there is any interest too, we want people that are interested in the mission and we want to use their skills for the purpose of helping others. Right.
Right.
So
the community,
if people are willing to volunteer some of their time, energy, effort to further along this mission and vision, gosh, contact me, right?
Yes.
We can have a conversation and
exactly.
see where this goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thanks for asking about the board. I'm glad that you did so that we can give them credit for what they've done so far.
Absolutely. And I bet a lot of their bios will be on the website and stuff like that. So people can check that out and just make sure that they're in the know instead of not. So, one of the questions I have is, There's a lot of therapy clinics within the hospitals and standalone almost on every corner, literally. Like, it's pretty amazing. Why is Northbound Health different? Like, what really sets you guys apart?
We've mentioned a few things that, again, unique approach. So we go mobile with the therapy services right now and meeting people where they're at. It's not making them come to us, right? Or
like forcing them.
Even forcing, but just a matter of, we're only here in this location. You've got to get to us.
Right.
Whatever that takes in your background, you've got to get to us at the right time. So you would understand that somebody might have a urinary tract infection that makes it really hard for them to get out. That might not be the best option for us to go to their house, but we could still maybe work through some things with them at that time, right?
Yeah, to get them healthy.
Yeah.
Right.
Or maybe their spouse is full-time caregiver for them and exhausted And it's really hard for them to get them set up, get them out of bed, get them changed, help somebody with, you know, just these basic living needs, feeding someone. I mean, I know that
right.
like to have to hand feed a significant other, that mm-hmm. is so tough and day not in and recognized as like being yeah. a hero, right? I mean, you're talking about people that are laying down their lives for another person too.
That's right.
But it comes at a cost. And I want to recognize this for both parties, right? Like it's mm-hmm. not just the patient, it's the family members,
yeah.
it's the caregivers. Like you want to make this work. And so that's another part of our approach is wanting to help them.
Right.
Help the caregivers, but help the patient, help the family through this
yeah.
and provide some direction
and
resources.
Yeah, resources. That's yeah. great. Yeah.
And then the other pieces of where we're going is we're trying to make this as affordable as possible.
Yeah.
Therapy okay. is expensive. I've learned a lot in billing for this. So what you guys probably don't understand is you're going to see a bill after therapy and you're going to think, wow, they charge this much, but then insurance only pays this much.
Right. So reimbursements rates are low.
Who knows why everybody does that? There's a lot of reasons mm-hmm. and that could be a whole nother podcast in and of itself, blog post, webinar, who knows?
Yeah.
But you've got these really high costs to healthcare. You've got experienced professionals with doctorate degrees. Not saying that we need to get paid, you know, top dollar, but you still have to pay for some of what you're worth as an experienced professional. But think right. about people that are specialized and have the ability to provide some really good care that could also, the cost is expensive. So if we can get as affordable as possible, if we can get significant help from the community.
Right.
That can in turn make us more affordable.
Yeah. Being a certified professional is a big difference.
Yeah.
In the level of care that you're providing and the type of therapies that you're providing. So yeah.
That is yeah. Very so, important. So therapy services, and then holistic is going to be another word that we're going to throw around, but it doesn't
I was going to ask you about that. The holistic approach.
Holistic's a weird word in the medical community because it could mean a lot of different things, but we're yeah. looking at holistic as kind of treating the whole person. So
yes.
When I was thinking of Northbound Health, I kept thinking about the dimensions of health. What does that mean? It's not just physical. It could be emotional, social, psychological, economic or financial in nature, relational, mm-hmm. spiritual is another mm-hmm. part, right?
Well, yeah.
And spiritual doesn't necessarily mean just religious, right? It's
right.
just how does someone have encouragement and hope after something so life-changing happened to them that just turned their life upside down in a matter of an instant. And they've
exactly.
got to figure out how to navigate this new normal. I've said before, new world. So that's what this is going to look
meditation.
Like. And I know that our therapists are going to work together to mm-hmm. help with as many resources as we can, but there's also going to be a need for more services, if that makes sense too, because we're going to be limited in our knowledge and our specialty mm-hmm. and our focus that we hope to add team members that are going to be able to make this vision really come to reality.
Right. And that's what I just heard you say is like expanding as you grow mm-hmm. to offer more services. Great.
Yeah. So that would be some things that are just a little bit different about us than the other therapy clinics, but then I'm going to make note time spent with a patient is huge, right? There's, I think, some common knowledge and some stereotypes that among therapists between, you know, working at a place that if you want to break even as a facility, as a clinic, like you've got to see patients all the time.
Yeah.
You've got to write your notes and write your notes, computer, not writing anymore, but
right.
Electronic medical records, but you've got to have your computer open while you're with that patient one-on-one.
Right.
This group of folks, you can't do because you need to have both your hands at all times working with them ready. Like the VR system,
mm-hmm.
you can't let them just go free. Patient that may not have good balance or have some other, you know, difficulties. You've got to be with them. You've got to be near them. And so you want to spend all this focus time on them, right? And
right.
you want to give all your resources to them.
Yes.
If it was one of you and I's family member, we would hope that whatever knowledge they had, they'd give to us. But sometimes that time limit is what's so hard. Like as a therapist, you want to do more for this patient, but you got another patient that's coming right in. So exactly. The time that you're spending, the expertise is something that we would hope to keep up. Sending our therapists to continuing education courses mm-hmm. to just learn and be diving into what we need to know to serve our population
that's
better.
Great. That's great.
And places do that. So I don't want to get that wrong either.
No.
But that's just going to be one of our focuses if we can keep, you know, funding those kind of things.
Exactly. So a lot of those things that you just discussed sounds like a lot like why Northbound Health is considered a public charity. Mm-hmm. And that's why we approached it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We had discussions on, do we just do a for-profit and bill insurance and try to at least break even for paying the overhead costs of operations. But you think about what that really truly means. The care wouldn't be,
it would be profits over people.
I don't
people.
Want to use this either.
Profits
but
over people
it
every
sometimes
time.
Sometimes ends up being that way, or you know, we've got a limit here to just pay the staff, or we've got a limit here to. I mean, there's so much involved in the healthcare. The compliance for HIPAA
right.
is major, right? Like mm-hmm. for us, especially, we've got to keep our connections safe, and we've got mm-hmm. to have IT services to help us through this.
Exactly.
So
yeah, especially if you're mobile.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so we're not going to have a setup in a clinic right now to where
right.
we can use that lowers the cost, but that mobile part adds another dimension and dynamic. Yeah. So again, we're doing some things that are out of the box that typically you don't see in the regular therapy world because you don't have enough money to sustain it.
Right.
So there comes a public charity. We're filling a gap in the system to try to be partners with the system too, right? Like one of the ultimate goals right now for us is, hey, if there's a patient that can't be seen by you, whether they're denied services or they're just not the right fit, they can't mm-hmm. come to your clinic, call us. Let us help that patient in their home, in their other, you know, the settings to get them to you again, to your specialized clinics that you have available. Mm-hmm. And because you provide great care.
Right.
So let's be partners together in this. And I'm going to cut the word out, but I don't want to have brand loyalty.
Right.
Be partners and collaborate with other people in the area. And there's a lot of other nonprofits that do really great work that are trying to reach some of these same people and these same goals.
Partner with them.
Honestly, I would love to partner with them and figure out how this could work.
Yeah.
And just, again, increase our outreach. What's that look like?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those partnerships are key and crucial to serving this population.
Yeah.
And being a nonprofit 501c3 in the way that you are approaching it, a revenue model of 70% revenue and a 30% deficit, generally speaking. And that 30% deficit is what we're trying to, bring awareness to is like, hey, to serve patients above profits, we need to raise money to fill the gap. The need is there of the 30%. And the 70% is a revenue model that provides long-term sustainability. So mm-hmm. we're really trying to bring awareness to the community locally here in Indianapolis, but then all around the country, even in Oregon. Hey, what's up, guys? You know, like understand that space. I'm really excited about what you're doing. So, so as far as a call to action along that vein, how can people listening help Northbound
Health? So to summarize, visit our website. You'll learn more.
Okay.
You can see how to get involved. You can
website.
Donate if you are willing. We'd love your support. I think, you know, all three of us that are involved in this right now, and then adding Alyssa, and then we have another team member. I don't want to forget her, but Lisa Ross, she's going to be an administrative assistant for us. She's living it every day herself. She was diagnosed with MS and mm-hmm. we're so thankful to have her on our team because she's going to keep us in line. I know that she'll keep
good
us
job.
In line
Do it. Yeah.
and keep this mission going. But, yeah. So donating is one big key. If you're a corporate, you know, you want to do some kind of corporate sponsorship, we'll mm-hmm. take that.
Right.
We will take individual donations, the stock options, really neat these
days. Yeah. In-kind donations and
so
stuff like that.
I mean, even just like demo equipment, things like that are really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Sponsoring some really specific events or
like the
like golf,
outing. Golf
outing September 12th.
Yeah. September 12th, golf outing here in Indianapolis.
And then like you heard volunteers, board members, we like having students involved. And so research is going to be something hopefully in the future.
I was going to ask you about that too.
You've heard some of my thoughts on research, you know, when we talk at home, and it's a big part of this to have some numbers to what we're really trying to show and push out further. So lots of ways we can get involved with the community and hope that we can establish some great partnerships and see where, you know, if this can go to further the solution to this problem, these problems,
right?
Help in the time of need during COVID, and just push out to add, you know, more outreach, more services, and maybe one day have this really cool facility that, you know, encompasses all of it and the whole person.
Yeah. The collaboration is huge.
Yeah.
And partnerships is huge. So, hey, with that, yeah, thank you for coming in, spending the time with me and on the show, Foster and Friends. And I'm excited to maybe interview you again here in like 6 months or so. Yeah. And then also maybe get some takes from Megan and Julie.
Yeah, I think
would love to talk to your teammates about what they're up to and what they're doing and as far as Northbound Health is concerned. So you guys out there, follow Nora, the story, Northbound Health, Julie, Megan, really excited about what's happening and where this thing is going. It's a unique approach. I'm excited to see what happens. All right, with that.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah, thank you all, and we'll talk to you next time.
Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning in to Foster and Friends. If you've enjoyed listening to our conversations here today, be sure to subscribe to Foster and Friends wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find us on our YouTube channel, Foster and Friends, for full video recordings, and our Instagram handle at Foster and Friends Podcast. Again, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. This is Brent Foster signing off.